In the last days,
perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, no lovers of good, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from these also turn away. For of these are they who creep into houses and take silly women captive, laden with divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be known unto all men. Even as also theirs came to be. But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, long-suffering, persecutions, all things that I endured at Antioch, Lystra, Iconium. What sufferings I endured, and how out of all of them the Lord delivered me, yea, and all they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution for evil men. And imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned, knowing from whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. This Bible claims that it is the inspired word of God and the only inspired word in all the world, or the universe. I would not waste 1 minute of your time trying to prove to you that this is the Word of God. I feel like defending the Word of God the same as if I were called upon to defend a tiger. If we had a tiger up here tonight and bars all around, and you people didn't have any more sense than to poke sticks at him and throw rocks at him. And if I could be called upon to defend the tiger, I think the best defense I could give to the tiger would be to open the cage door and turn him loose. The tiger can defend himself. And the best defense the Word of God, so simply open it up and turn it loose. The Holy Spirit can still convict in respect of sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. So let's open it up and turn it loose. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men have always thought in every generation that they were living in the last days. I read a sermon not long ago. I have a set of books, 10 volumes of Martin Luther's sermons. I read a sermon by Martin Luther. He preached in 1522 in the early December. In preparation for the Christmas season, he preached on the second coming of Christ, the 1st of December. He preached the 21st chapter of Luke regarding the second coming of the Lord and the end of the world. And Martin Luther said in 1522, in December of that year, he said, my opinion is the Lord's coming is right at hand and the end of the world is near. And one of the reasons he gave for saying that was he said, look at what we've done. What we might say our modern day technology, he said, we have invented the printing press and gunpowder. And because they had the printing press and gunpowder, Martin Luther thought they had tapped into the mind of God. He said, this is the end. That's been 400 years ago. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, of all the days that have ever been, these are the last days so far. So maybe we got a good shot at it. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, times have always been perilous. In the 1300s, the Black Death, the bubonic plague, wiped out a third, some say even a half, of all of Europe. That was certainly perilous times. But I think everybody will agree that we live in more perilous times today than ever has been in the history of the world, at least since the flood. I remember when the first nuclear sub, the Nautilus, was on a shakedown cruise. They said that that one submarine had more firepower on it than all the firepower of World War II on both sides over a four-year period. I don't think there's anybody in this enlightened audience in 1996 who would find any fault with that. We know we live in perilous times. Somebody could press a button and blow up this whole universe, this whole world. We live in perilous times. Sometimes we tape the 60-minute show on Sunday night. In March, they had a program where they showed a boat like you might find on Rocky Fork Lake sailing in New York Harbor. And they said, as they watched this boat float along in that harbor, that that boat, the size of it, from that boat, a gas could be emitted that was tasteless, odorless, and colorless. And that gas being turned loose in 3 days, 400,000 people in New York City would be dead. And they would not even know that they had been gassed because they couldn't smell it, they couldn't see it, they couldn't taste it. They would not know that they had been gassed until 3 days later when they began to hemorrhage and die. And it was pointed out that there are countries in this world that hate, despise, and abominate the United States who have that device in their arsenal. And the only reason it was suggested that they haven't used it on us because of the fear of instant retaliation that wiped them off the face of the earth,
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my opinion doesn't amount to anything, but my guess is the bleeding heart liberals of America would object to our country even firing back under those conditions. We live in perilous times. Now, when you think of the last days, usually people like to think of the events that will take place. Some time ago, there was a fellow who wrote a book called Late Great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey. I was in a bookstore in Cincinnati, and I was looking at some books, and I heard two voices on the other side. A lady was talking to this man, and she said, "Oh, look, Hal Lindsey has written another book." I thought, of course he has. The first one didn't turn out like he thought it would, so he wrote another one, then another one, then another one. You see it on television, they're always talking about the last days and what's going to happen. In this chapter, Paul does not talk about the events. He talks about the character of the people who will live in the last days. It will be the character of the people that will make it perilous times. There's an old cliche. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, that's what Paul said, more or less. He said, bombs don't kill people. Gas doesn't kill people. Dynamite doesn't kill people. The thing that blows up that building in Oklahoma and in New York and the 800 and whatever is people. People kill people. And so Paul in this chapter isn't talking about the events, but the character of the people who live in the last days. He gives us 18 or 22, depending on how you divide it up, characteristics of people who will live in this time and age. We'll list just a few of them. One of them, in the last days, perilous times shall come because men shall be lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. Jesus talked about that also in the Gospel according to Luke. We live in a pleasure-mad society. Every week there's a championship game. The North plays the South, or the East plays the West, or the center plays the edges. And the outcome, everybody thinks the world's history depends on the outcome. I saw in the news where somebody had a game and his team won. He had a big sign. He said, "Now I can die happy." We live in a sports crazy world, a world that worships entertainment, shows, and whatever. And Paul said that's the way it will be in the last days. Now, if the scholars, well, let me say this first of all. The most dominant word that's heard on the Lord's Day today, by the way, the Lord's Day is no longer Sunday, it's Funday. And the most dominant word that's heard on Funday today in America is not hallelujah. The most dominant word that's heard today in America on Funday is touchdown. The most dominant phrase that's heard on Funday today in America is not praise ye the Lord, but that ball is out of here. We live in perilous times. If the scholars could get together and make a survey and come up with the name of the greatest preacher who ever lived, they've done that before, that goes. Probably they would say John of Antioch. John of Antioch died in 406 A.D. He was such a great preacher that after he was dead for 100 years, they changed his name and called him Christendom, which means golden mouth. John Golden Mouth preached a sermon. John Chrysostom preached a sermon in 402 A.D. And on the very first page of the sermon, in his introduction, this is what he said. He lamented the fact that the attendance was falling. Preachers are always talking about their attendance. If it's two people below one number, they get miserable all week. If it's two above, they're very happy all week. John Chrysostom was unhappy because the attendance was falling, and he said, I know why it's falling. The attendance is falling because our people on the Lord's Day rush off to the Hippodrome to see the chariot races and to the theater to see the satanic spectacles. And after he said that, he said, I know that having said that, it won't do one bit of good. That was in the year 402. At that time, on the edge of the empire, the Ostrogoths, Visigoths, Lombards, Burgundians, Gauls, Huns, Franks, ready to pounce upon the empire, but the people were not concerned. Touchdown! That ball is out of here! Now let me put this into proper perspective. I was coming through the airport at Pittsburgh in 1988. Had 2-hour layover. So I went to the magazine rack to see what was there. And I saw one magazine called Sports Illustrated. I had never bought one before. Haven't bought one since. But I bought that one because I could not resist that picture that was on the front. It was not the picture you're thinking about. So get your minds out of the gutter. It was a picture of Muhammad Ali, the former champion, Sikh champion. I bought it. The whole issue was about him. And this is what Muhammad Ali said. Remember, he is probably the quintessential sports figure of the last 30 years. Perhaps made more money than any of them over the last 30 years. And this is what, and the way he summed up his life at that time. He said, I had the whole world, and it wasn't nothing. That's what he said. He was the greatest. He won the championship, lost the championship. Won the championship, lost the championship. Won the championship, lost the championship. He said, I had it all, and it wasn't nothing. What do you mean? Why, he won the gold medal at the Olympics. Now, you were glued to the tube a few days ago, and rooting for gold medals, gold medals, gold medals, gold medals. Muhammad Ali won a gold medal. He brought it home to Louisville, Kentucky, and threw it in the Ohio River. I had the whole world, and it was nothing. No wonder Paul was snide about sports. He said, look, they train, they play hard for an olive leaf, while the Christian has an opportunity to go for the gold and lazes around. Guns don't kill people. Dynamite doesn't kill people. Gas doesn't kill people. People kill people. People blow up Oklahoma, New York, 800. What kind of people? People who love pleasure more than they love God. The last days, perilous times shall come. Not only that, but in the last days, perilous times shall come because they shall have unnatural affection. I don't know all that Paul had in mind on that, but certainly marriage is having a hard time of it when they tell me over 50% of the marriages wind up in divorce. I was sitting up here in Hillsboro at the Chit Chat restaurant a few months ago. I was eating breakfast, and on the other side of the room was an old fellow. Looked like he knew me, and I thought I knew him. So after a while, he came over. He said, "Are you who I think you are?" I said, "Yeah." Well, he was a retired photographer. And he said, "How many weddings have you had?" I said, "I don't know. I never kept track of them. But I said, one thing for sure, I'm not going to have any more." He said, "Why?" I said, "I'm getting tired of marrying liars." He said, "Well," he had taken umpteen million pictures at weddings. And he said, "You know, I took some pictures recently at a wedding, and that couple got divorced before I got the proofs back." In the last days, perilous times shall come. And let me tell you what Moses said. Moses said, "Thou shalt not be a whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the price of a dog into the house of the Lord." Moses called them dogs. Now, I have to apologize on Moses' behalf, because what he said was not politically correct. He should have said that you shall not bring the price of the gay community into the house of the Lord. I saw two biologists on television debating that question. When you think of the fact that the dog is one of the few that will try to have a simulated sex act with another male dog. And they said, "That's not a sex act. It's an act of dominance to show who's top dog." Well, I don't care whether it's dominance or sex. There's no person that tries to be any more dominant with America than the gay community anyway. And God called them dogs. One morning I was eating breakfast, and I just happened to have Good Morning America on the television. And Charlie Gibson was talking to a preacher. I guess he was a preacher, his collar on backwards anyway. And Charlie Gibson asked this question of the preacher. He said, "What does preaching the gospel have to do with what two people do in the bedroom?" The preacher didn't understand the question. I thought it was pretty simple myself, but he thought he didn't know. He said, "What?" And Charlie Gibson said on national audience, he said, "What does preaching the gospel have to do with what two people do in the bedroom?" Now, isn't that the most pathetic statement you ever heard? And the most pathetic thing about it is that most of America feels exactly the same way. What's that got to do with it? Now, let me tell you what Paul said in Romans 1. Now, don't try to anticipate me. You say, "I know what he said." No, you don't. I'm not going to tell you what you think I'm going to say. I'm going to say something else. I want to tell you what Paul said before he said what you're thinking. And after I tell you what Paul said before what you're thinking, then I'll tell you what you're thinking. Paul said, "The invisible things of him since the creation are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they might be without excuse, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the glory of man and bird and beast and creeping things. For this cause God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever." Listen, Paul said those Romans were atheists. They did not have God in their knowledge. He said they had turned to pre-Darwinism evolution. They worship birds and beasts and creeping things. He said they had turned to humanism. They worship the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. They rejected God in their school system and everywhere else because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. After they became atheist, humanist, evolutionist, and rejected the word of God, then Paul said what you were thinking. For this cause, God gave them up to vile passions for their women. Changed the natural use of that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men working with men and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was due. The reason they had a trouble with sodomy and lesbianism was because they were atheist, humanist, evolutionists, and rejected the word of God. And anybody who can't see the parallel in ancient Rome and the United States has to be brain dead. I don't say our beloved country is going to the dogs. I'm saying we have already arrived at the dog pound. Guns don't kill people. Dynamite doesn't kill people. Gas doesn't kill people. People kill people. What kind of people? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lesbians, sodomites were the ones who were responsible for blowing up Oklahoma, New York, Flight 800. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men also, he said, they creep into houses and take silly women captive, laden with divers lust. I have no idea what he was talking about. But I know what he said covers a multitude of sins. It covers what Paul said when he said, I permit not a woman to preach, to speak, or to teach, nor to have usurp authority over the man. That's been covered so many times that we won't go into that. I was getting ready one time to speak on the Kamichi Clinic. They were putting this thing on me. And as Hutch put the thing on me, he said, you know what the previous speaker said? I said, no, he was a scholar, Dr. somebody else from a Bible college. He said, as many of you as were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither male nor female, there can be neither bond nor free, for you're all one man in Christ Jesus. And his conclusion was, since we are one in Christ, when we're baptized, we're neither male nor female. Therefore, women can preach the gospel. Just look at that. Here's a black man and a white man come forward. They repent of their sins. They make the confession. They're baptized. They're one in Christ. But one is still black and one is still white. Here's a German. Here's an American. Come forward. They do the same thing. They are one in Christ. But one is still German. One is still American. Here's a man and a woman. Come forward. They go through the same process. They are one in Christ. But the woman is still a woman. And the man is still a man. The man not qualified to be a mother or a wife. The woman not qualified to be a husband or a father unless the preacher has developed the technique of performing a transsexual operation while he has them under the water. Being one in Christ does not change nationality, does not change race, and it does not change sex. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, I use this next thought at the men's clinic last May, and I want to get all the mileage out of it I can. H. Lee Mason, by the way, if you hear a gurgling sound while I'm telling this, it's the sound of me going down the drain, but I'm pulling Lee in with me. H. Lee Mason said, he's the editor of the Restoration Herald, in 1995 at the meeting of the Continuation Committee at North American Christian Convention, that's what he said, they had a straw vote to see how they felt about women preachers on the convention. And if I remember rightly, he said it was 75% in favor of it. Now, you know, that must be an awful dumb bunch. Now, you know, now, maybe there's a little tension here, so I want to relieve the tension. I'm going to sing for you. There used to be a song, I don't know what you call it, bluegrass or country or hillbilly or what. There went something like this. Oh, mama don't allow no banjo play in this house. Oh, mama don't allow no banjo play in this house. But I don't care what mama don't allow, play my banjo anyhow. Mama don't allow no banjo playing in this house. Well, all right, I'll sing another verse. This next verse ought to be the theme song, it should have been, of this year's North American Convention. Oh, the Lord don't allow no gals preaching in this house. Lord don't allow no gals preaching in this house. But we don't care what the Lord don't allow, let our gals preach anyhow. The Lord don't allow no gals preach in this house. Well, you like that so well, I have to give you an encore. This time I want to sing it Dan Schaefer style. Oh, the Lord don't allow no gals preaching in this house. The Lord don't allow no gals preaching in this house. But I don't care what the Lord don't allow. Let our gals preach anyhow. Yeah. Guns don't kill people. Gas doesn't kill people. Dynamite doesn't kill people. People kill people. The last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, perilous times shall come also, because they shall have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Go to services on Sunday morning if you feel like it, then goodbye God for the rest of the week. We live in perilous times, having a form of godliness. You know, God has always been good at solving problems. One time the world was without form, dark everywhere. God had a problem. But he solved the problem by saying, let there be light, and that was light. God had a problem one time. The world was completely covered with water. God said, let the dry land appear. And he solved the problem. God has solved the problem in nature. A man came out from the city. He saw the wheat fields in the season where they're golden color and acre after acre waving in the breeze like a golden ocean. He took one look at that wheat field and he said, good work, God. I go to Niagara Falls and I see where the falls have drained five great lakes and hundreds of rivers, and I ride the Maid of the Mist and I see the lights and the beauty of it all, and I say, way to go, Lord. I fly an airplane one time and it began to lose altitude, tipped over a little bit on the right side,
Captain came on. This is the captain, ladies and gentlemen. Look over to your right. And you'll see the Grand Canyon. I looked out the window and it looked like God had taken his celestial thumb and made a gash in the earth. God knows how to solve problems. But the greatest problem that God ever faced was the redemption of mankind. It was such a difficult problem that the Apostle Peter says even the angels could not figure it out until after it was finished. Michael the archangel must have seen God call Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he scratched his celestial cranium and rattled his celestial brains and said, "What in the world is God up to?" Gabriel, when he made that trip down to Nazareth to see Mary, came back. I think he must have told Michael, he said, "I had the strangest mission today." He scratched his celestial cranium and rattled his celestial brains and said, "What in the world is God up to?" Angels could not figure it out. Of course, man can today. Liberal mankind can figure it out. They figured it in this way. On the judgment day, God will raise up everybody. The Lord Jesus will descend. He'll review the entire human race from Adam on down. And he'll say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." But ladies and gentlemen, redemption was not that simple. Not until Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead and ascended to the Father, and the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, and the first gospel sermon was preached, and the terms of pardon were given, and the Lord established his church, did they understand, "Now we know what it's all about." The devil doesn't care one bit if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, just as long as you don't repent. You can believe the gospel all you want to, and without repentance, the power of the gospel is diluted. Not only that, the devil doesn't care if you believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as long as you are not baptized for the remission of sins. People always say, I quote Acts 2:38. I want to remind you something. Every time I have quoted Acts 2:38, I have said repent just as much as I have said baptism. And the devil doesn't care one way or the other about the gospel if you do not obey the ordinance that where you contact the blood. The song tonight talked about the blood of Jesus. The battle over mankind is at the blood, and the war is at the water. Long time ago, a preacher back in the 30s made this statement. He said, "Before I would preach open membership and tell people you don't have to repent and be immersed to be saved, before I would do that, I would stop preaching and stop being a leech on the body of Christ." I've thought about that for a half a century, and a few weeks ago, I cranked up our computer, got the encyclopedia on, typed off the word leech, came up with this article. The leech is called a suctorial worm. It is called a medicinal leech sometimes. It is a hermaphrodite, neither male nor female. It is 2 inches to 4 inches long. And years ago, doctors used to take this leech and put it on their patients to bleed them, to suck their blood. Barbers did the same thing in a barbershop. You could go into a barbershop, get a shave and a haircut, 2 bits. 25 cents, that is. A little white box, take out a leech, put it on your boil. And while you're getting shaved and your hair cut, the leech
would be doing his thing,
namely sucking your blood.
The leech is a bloodsucker.
That's what that preacher meant.
He meant rather than to get my
living and my money and my car payments and my insurance and my house payments
by preaching
a half of a gospel and not telling people what to do to be saved, he said, I would quit
rather than to be a leech on the body of Christ. We have a lot of blood-sucking preachers today. Maybe you want to know, how can I tell if my preacher's a blood-sucker? Well, if he says, he that believeth and is saved shall be baptized, you've got a real bloodsucker on your hands. If you have a preacher who maybe believes the gospel, but is soft on the plan of salvation because his people don't like it, you've got an embryonic bloodsucker anyway. I was at church at Seaman, Ohio, just a few months ago. And I went in, I saw they had on the back in the vestibule a banner advertising a convention, and there were three or four pictures of some men there who are faith-only preachers. Good things can happen on the convention, but this was the come on. During the sermon, I mentioned in my own sweet way, I said, those men out there in the hall don't believe what we're preaching here. And that night, somebody had the grace, before I came in, to take the sign down. Many of the churches, perhaps here represented, displayed those people. Of course, I don't blame you too much. It's the preacher's fault, not yours. Most of our people in the church really don't have a clue as to what's going on anyway. Anyway, if you attend a meeting like that, a convention like that, you have found yourself in a nest of bloodsuckers. Now you say, what has that got to do with perilous times? Why, it's got everything to do with it. That puts at peril the souls of millions of people. And remember, the battle is over the blood, and the war is at the water.
These people have a right
to say whatever they want to say.
But if that's the way they feel about it,
why don't they
quit being members of the Church of Christ and or Christian Church and join those denominations that they love so well?
I've got a better idea. Why don't they just stop preaching altogether and get a job at McDonald's flipping hamburgers and make an honest living? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Bombs don't kill people. Guns don't kill people. Gas doesn't kill people. People kill people. That's four. Now I have 18 more to go. It would take me normally an hour to do this, but I'll cut it down to 45 minutes. Just kidding, Dean. If I preached the rest of this sermon, he'd have a heart attack. And we can't afford to lose him. So, I'll tell you what. I think I'll just quit. Brother Dan, come and lead us in singing songs.